Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Diesel Automatic. Before I bring him on, just a couple of announcements. You can always get new episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Go check us out on Rockfin. This is where you get our premium content. You get all our regular shows, and best of all the amazing content from every creator that's there on Rockfin. And check out the new awesome podcasts that we're featuring on the Forbidden Knowledge Network. You can get them all in one place. That's our website, forbiddenknowledge.news. We're featuring some amazing creators on there. Also, follow us on Facebook. Those links are in the description. You can follow us there for announcements, updates, and other important information. And be sure to check out our merch store. You can get yourself some shirts, hoodies, stickers, all kinds of cool FKN gear. And finally, guys, C60 Purple Power. You hear me talk about it almost every show. May be the most powerful antioxidant known to man. The benefits are amazing. I feel great, and you should too. Just click that link in the description. You get 10% off your order, plus free shipping. Today, I want to welcome Diesel Automatic. He is a Chicago-born rapper activist, using music to spread the message of freedom, liberty, justice, personal growth, peace, and love for over a decade. Diesel, welcome. How you doing today, man?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me. I'm doing really well. I'm great.
Man, thank you so much for joining us.
All things considered.
Yes, all things considered, of course.
It's all relative, right?
Yes,
but
sir.
All things considered, I'm blessed.
Awesome, man. Well, I've been looking forward to this. I've been listening to your music, and I'm so impressed, man. The message is stellar. The production is awesome. The sound is great. And it's what everyone needs to hear right now, especially the message you're putting out there. So I'm very impressed, and I want to thank you for what you're doing. This is your first time on the show. I'd love for you to tell us just more about yourself, a little bit more about what brought you down your current path.
Yeah, no doubt. Once again, I'm really glad to be here. So it started, like 2010 was the starting point. It was initially for me, it was more, I guess you could say, a spiritual, although like everything is spiritual, I guess. But, you know, it was more of like coming to learn about things like the law of attraction and just that everything is energy, and positive thoughts create positive realities, so on and so forth. And that kind of just took me down a path of, you know, down a rabbit hole, as I think we all kind of at some point, we all kind of had that journey down a rabbit hole to one degree or the next. And of course, that led me as well to, you know, some political awakening. In particular, I had a friend of mine showed me a documentary. This was like 2010. About, it was called The Great White, I think The Last White Hope. I can't remember the exact title, but it was basically about the war on drugs.
Yeah.
And I myself as a youth was, you know, I was in the streets. I was grew up in Chicago. My friends, everybody, we all had trouble with the law, things with drugs, selling drugs, using drugs, whatever the fuck, right? And I was impacted really deeply by that, as so many people that I know were. And once I found out about the war on drugs, that was something that just hit home so deeply. And aside from the personal attachment to it, when I really learned about it and how horrible it is, how much of a violation of our natural rights and our bodily autonomy. And as I make the connection very often to what is happening today, I'm sure we'll get more into that. But nonetheless, that knowledge really just put me in a position to where I said, well, you know, I have this ability, this weapon, if you will, to rap, to spread a message. Like, because I've been rapping before, I've been rapping my whole life, you know, but growing up, first it was just on the streets, freestyling, battle rapping. Then it got more about money and down the commercial path. So I always thought, you know, I was always one of the best rappers, battle rappers, won numerous battles. Like, you know, I've been doing this for so long, and I always thought it was kind of, I was meant to be rich and famous. But then it kind of all came together that I felt kind of like I was a warrior just, and I had been in training, but not really knowing the exact battle I was training for. And then once I just had that awakening, it was a no-brainer to me. You know, it was like, okay, I have to. And I, you know, I had zero fans. I had been off the internet. I stopped rapping. Like, I didn't know anything about social media, about promoting, about anything. But I was like, I know that I can make good music, and I have something that I want people to hear. So I started 2010 and haven't looked back since.
Man, that's awesome. You find that once you start to do something that you have a passion for, and especially once you start combining it with the presenting the information that you're learning, it starts to lead you down this path that's pretty much unstoppable. Now, once you started, learning about all this stuff and finding out the information, how did you go about, starting to present it in your rap music?
Yeah, I mean, it was really, it was first the acquisition of the information is everything. Like, I always preach and will always preach that the most important thing is, in fact, spreading the message, because the acquisition of new information is the first and most pivotal and most important step to a person changing himself. Like, we cannot change what we don't know, and what we don't know is broken and needs to be changed and fixed. And that can only start with that spark of new information. So, gathering as much information as I could, but then also such an important thing to me, I think to everybody should be, is like really thinking about it, thinking critically about the information that we gather, not just taking it and regurgitating it, just impulsively, but rather really sitting with it, analyzing it, breaking it down, using our own logical, rational thinking capabilities to ultimately draw our own conclusions. And sometimes our own conclusion may very well be in alignment with the information that we found and, from the jump. But nonetheless, it's always good to have that kind of process of our own.
Yeah.
So, a lot of time was spent thinking. A lot of time thinking, contemplating still to this day. I'd say I'm a modern day philosopher. You know what I mean? Like, that's really what it is. And a lot of us are. I'm nothing special. But, that's really what it is, just contemplating and coming to our own conclusions. And then the rest for me was easy. The rap part to me is easy. Like, that just always came naturally to me, to be able to form, rhyme schemes, and especially inject coherent, cohesive information into the rhymes. That's not really anything to me, to be honest.
Yeah, and when it comes to this whole movement of, I guess this truth movement right now, I think that music in general, rap music, whatever kind of, or any kind of creative arts that you're putting forward that is an entertainment form where people can't necessarily, interact or comment and just, be interactive at the time. They just sit back and absorb it. That's what the purpose is, for them to sit back and listen to it. I think that's really important right now, to have this form of medium, and so you can speak your truth and people can just listen to it. They don't have to talk back to it. They don't have to engage in it. They can just absorb what you're saying. If it resonates with them, then, that's when the magic happens, and it keeps, going, spreading from there. Wouldn't you think?
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, ideally that's how all information would be absorbed, ingested, and processed, right? And music definitely, although of course now, even with music, my main platform for my music is YouTube, right? So, hey, you can't avoid the feedback, the comments, the trolls, the hate. It is what it is, right? Like, probably one of my biggest pet peeves, is because I nowadays, even since when I started, like, unfortunately, I wish it was how you said it. Like, I wish I could just put music out and that's it. Mm-hmm. I would much rather not do social media, but it's all part of it, right? And you want to reach as many people as possible. So, it's kind of unavoidable in this day and age. Even as a musician, you're going to have to, you're going to always have the people who, one of my biggest pet peeves is the people who, even if it's just a post on Instagram, right? Because I always, not always, but most of the time, I'll post a meme, but I'll have a really long thought out, caption. expressing, oftentimes even disagreeing with the meme, you know, and expressing my own viewpoints. And to me, the meme that I post is just a trigger point for my own thoughts, right? But so often people will just see the meme and just boom, go in and start commenting, or read my first sentence or first and just boom, go in. And it, to me, it drives me crazy. It's one of the things that I've had to, it's one of the biggest challenges I've had to deal with on social media, is just, you know, getting accustomed to people being people, to, you know, people having this compulsion to just reply, to not listen, read, to understand, to absorb, to break. There's no way that a person could, within a minute of I post something, right away they're responding with fucking paragraphs. Like, what? You took zero time to think this through, man. Like, no.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, aside from all the aside from all like the troll comments and that form of interacting, what you're putting out is a timeless piece of work that, you know, it's not going to go anywhere. No matter what, it's always going to be there. And the message that you put in there, it's always going to be true. And it's always going to be a constant, steady message that has been put out into the universe. And I think that that's what I'm talking about, is the important part is we need more things like this to resonate throughout the, you know, the universe and the universal consciousness, and get this, you know, flowing through people's brains.
I agree. Agreed. Yeah, for sure. I see what you're saying. And I think maybe that's, I think maybe even, you know, even deeper is it's not necessarily that it's music, but some type of original creations.
Right. Yes.
Like the memes and everything is cool. It's spreading information. But whether maybe it's a movie, even, you know, a really amazing movie with, like, I know I love movies that have deep, impactful messages that really resonate with me. But yeah, you know, I think it's important to have these creations that are, like you said, timeless, and that really have a message that transcends space and time and all these trends that are here today, gone tomorrow. Especially, like, we're, you know, like, look at now, I mean, really now TikTok is, you know, the big thing that everyone's getting right in that wave, even with activism, right? And that's great. I don't want to knock any form of activism if it's reaching people, but how long is that really going to be around for? You know, is that really a long-term sustainable form of activism? But nonetheless, yeah, I get what you're saying, and I certainly agree.
Now, I have been playing music for a long time. I've been singing, playing guitar, playing various instruments, and I'm a fan of all kinds of music. But I noticed that in the past, you know, couple of decades, it seems like many forms of music have been weaponized by, you know, these mainstream record labels and the interest behind that. And the music, I mean, I used to work for a corporation at my day job I used to have, and they would play, you know, just modern pop music all day. And I feel like my brain was leaking out of my ears by the end of the day, because the lyrics were just such nonsense and trash, and such repetitive music that was, you know, it all sounds the same. Do you think that music has been intentionally weaponized the past few decades?
Oh, 100%. No doubt about it. Like, this is something that I go into often, that I talk about, like, no question. I mean, music is, when we break down music, what is music? It's sound. What is sound? It's vibration. What is vibration? It's energy. To me, it's just a natural law. Like, it's an irrefutable universal law that we are impacted by energy on multiple various levels. So there's no doubt that just the vibrational frequencies of music, the instrumentation alone, impact us. You know, and there's a lot of information about the frequency at which mainstream commercial music is made, and that it's like a negative frequency. I can't remember the exact frequencies. I think it's like 432 hertz is like the positive one or something like that. But I don't doubt it. I believe in that wholeheartedly. And then on top of the music, which is just energy, vibration, frequency, on top of that, you add lyrics, words, letters, chanting, spelling, spells, like, it's it repetitive. The brain, it's all really science. It's not even a matter of belief. It's a matter of what it is. Like, the brain, we learn primarily through repetition. That is the way we are brainwashed. That is the way we are programmed. It is solely repetitive. whether it's repetitive action, repetitive words that we're hearing, repetitive thoughts, repetitive images, repetitive sounds, it's all repetition. So when you take all these factors, the vibrational frequency of the sound, the words that are chants and mesmerizing spells, and the repetitive playing of them over and over and over again, there's no doubt. I couldn't now sit here and pinpoint how any one particular song or group of songs or genre may impact one person's mind, but it impacts it, no doubt, undubitably, no question, it is impacted. And I do think some things are more clear cut. For example, me, once again, going back to my history in Chicago, being in the streets, being prone to violence and what people would refer to as criminal activity, and coming up in hip hop and rap music being the soundtrack to my life and all of my friends' lives, and not being the cause of our behavior, it didn't cause it. We were already involved in that lifestyle. But then when we're listening to Jay-Z and Tupac and Notorious Big and all these cats talking about killing and making all this money in the streets every day, it amplifies it. It hypes it up. It certainly impacted us the way we thought, the way we acted, and the way we behaved. So no question, undoubtedly. I have no proof or evidence, but I would argue that music is the most powerful tool, actually. The music, maybe, if not the, certainly one of the most powerful tools that we have as humans, whether used for good or for bad. So, definitely.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think music is a form of magic as well. There's such power in that. And if you put passion, if you put this magic into you, what you're putting out there, and you put positivity in that, and you put a positive message, that's going to permeate. That's going to bring magic to that person. I know when I'm hearing a good song and it's really good, and I get that welling up, and I could even start crying, that song will be so good, you know, that hits me. That's what I consider magic, man. If you can bring out that emotional response, this positive emotional response in somebody, I think that's what it's all about. And, you know, that's not what's coming out of a lot of this mainstream music. So you're 100% right on that one.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and I mean, I've been around the industry too, back in Chicago. I've been on the underground scene. I've been on the on the commercial scene. I've been around big rappers. I've been around all of that stuff, man. And it's the majority of it is fake anyway. So like, you know, when we're talking energetic levels and all of these things that go into it, like the whole thing is a sham, really. You know, the music industry is Hollywood. People don't really put the two together. They'll say Hollywood and then the music industry, but the music industry is Hollywood. And anybody who knows about Hollywood, Hollyweird, like Hollywood, the wood of the holly tree used to make magic wands. It's all casting spells. It's all brainwashing. It's all there to program the masses. Movies, Hollywood movies, the music, all of it. I personally feel anybody who, like, only somebody who has not put any of the pieces together and has no information on science, on the way the brain works, on the way the brain is programmed and trained, like, could you actually think that it's like food, right? I use this analogy, right? It's like our bodies. How, of course, we know it is irrefutable that what we consume physically, food and drink, affects our physical state. It has to be recognized at this point, the scientifically irrefutable fact that what we consume for our minds and our spirit is also going to affect them. It just is.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Now, I want to go back to what you were talking about earlier about the war on drugs. I want to get your thoughts on this a little bit further. Now, the biggest drug dealers for me is the pharmaceutical industry, you know, the CIA. These institutions are, you know, to me, the ones that are permeating this problem with drugs. They create the problem, and then they also want to create the solution, which their solution is total bullshit war on drugs, you know, what they like to call it, which all this is it's targeting certain individuals, and it's bringing down society by poisoning them with our own government supplied drugs and poisons, and it's being perpetrated by our own government and our own shadowy factions to keep a portion of society down and keep them hooked on all these substances. I'd like to get your thoughts on what's happening with the war on drugs, and you know, there are some glimmers of hopes with, you know, decriminalization in a lot of states. I'd like to also get your thoughts about what could possibly be the future of this as well.
Sure. It's super deep. I mean, I say that the war on drugs, it's been going on over 50 years, over $1 trillion spent, millions and millions of innocent people, innocent lives ruined, people literally enslaved, sitting in the comfort of their own home, not harming a soul, lit up a joint, and next thing, because some neighbor snitched on them, they got cops busting down their door and taking them off to prison, ruining their family, ruining communities, in particular, low-income, Black, Hispanic, people of color. So, you know, I say that now there's a lot of hysteria about what's going on currently, which there should be, but often it's a bit over-exaggerated, I think, and I feel it undermines what the war on drugs actually is. Like, the war on drugs is, to me, the worst, the biggest conspiracy, the worst fucking thing that's in modern American history, well, worldwide, really, because it is a worldwide phenomenon. But if we're just sticking to America, it, to me, by far, I mean, it has decimated the inner cities. Like, when people talk about gun violence and violence in places like my hometown, Chicago, but they never want to address the root cause of it, which is the black market created by drug prohibition. It's not a war on drugs, it's drug prohibition. They didn't even want to call it drug prohibition because alcohol prohibition failed so miserably and did the same thing that drug prohibition is doing, which is it gave rise to a criminal black market, spearheaded the rise of the Italian mafia, Al Capone in Chicago. So they knew what they were doing, calling it the war on drugs, because Americans love themselves some war. You know what I mean? Oh, call it a war. Oh, we're going to fucking win this war. You know, so it's a scam. It's a scam. It's ruined countless. I mean, millions, literally millions. Imagine there are people who are right now still locked up in prison because of victimless crimes, harmless, with no victim, no harm done to anyone, just because they themselves wanted to ingest something into their body. And that's why I say it is actually the flip side of what's currently happening. It's two sides of the same coin. Uh-huh. You know, and if people paid attention to the war on drugs, I genuinely believe we wouldn't be in this predicament, because the war on drugs is dealing with our natural rights and our sovereignty and our bodily autonomy. It's just the flip side. What we're seeing now is government and entities trying to tell us what we must do to our bodies in order to not be criminalized and be, you know, respectable members of society and have all these rights and privileges that they, quote unquote, afford to us. Whereas the war on drugs is the flip side of that. They're telling us what we cannot do to our own bodies and minds to in order to be a member of society, so on and so forth. It is literally two sides of the exact same coin. And sometimes it really breaks my heart that, you know, people still don't see it with the war on drugs. Even some people who are against, you know, experimental gene therapy injection mandates, uh-huh, and who are against everything that's happening now, are still not vocal advocates for ending the war on drugs. And to me, you know, I know if people really understood the essence, it's not about, oh, marijuana, oh, it has medical use. And it's not about trying to justify why drugs should be legal. It's, we shouldn't have to have, oh, the benefits of them and this and that and they're medicinal. No, it's not about that. It's about inherent freedom and liberty, yes, as adults to do what we want to do with our minds and our bodies. You know, same with alcohol, same with anything else that's harmful, the fucking slew of other things that are sold legally. Right. That cause death and disease.
Oh, my God. I was watching a documentary about Coca-Cola. That stuff is disgusting, man. Jesus. So, bro, yeah.
There's, you know, so ultimately everything is just getting to the root of natural rights, natural law, God-given rights, God made law for those who believe it. You know, however you want to call it. It's these inherent liberties and freedoms. There is, it's just common sense. It's about equality as humans. People have totally taken the concept of equality into some weird, now they want to talk about equality, equity, all this bullshit. No, equality just means that we fundamentally, at the root of us, all human beings are equal, meaning no human being has the right to judge another and say, you must be condemned for doing this or that, or no, I am morally superior to you and I'm the authority morally here and I can tell you what you have to do to yourself or to your children. That is the essence of equality. And that's just logical because we're all humans. What would grant another human being who bleeds the same blood as me, breathes the same air as me, eats the same food as me, what on earth or in the heavens even could grant this person that authority over me? And it's as simple as that. And we need to drive home these principles of freedom, of real freedom, of liberty, and stop trying to justify, oh, well, drugs are healthy. Oh, well, the jab is not good for you, or who gives a fuck? Mm-hmm. I don't care. I said, when all this came started, I said, listen, that thing, it could make me fart out, you know, gold dust. You know, and shit bricks of gold, and I still don't want it if I don't want it.
Right.
That's it. And I just wish that more people would get to the root of all of these issues, which is just freedom. Freedom and liberty inherently for all of us. The government does not give us our rights. The government cannot take our rights only if we comply and allow them to. So that's really where it's at as far as the drug war. To me, it's one of the biggest issues and one of the biggest learning points for people. You know, like I dove so deep into it. It's what really, you know, opened my mind to so many things in terms of like what justice is and liberty and our inherent rights. And I just implore everybody, you know, to really get down to the nitty gritty of all of this. So
yeah, man. And like you said, we have to have a war on something. We got to have this invisible boogeyman, this invisible enemy, you know, war on drugs, war on terror. And now we got a war on COVID. I'm going to say it. Fuck it. This oogada boogada, this invisible enemy that, you know, we got to have because we always have to be distracted from who the real enemy was, and we know who the fucking real enemy is. You know, those corporations, the elites, those in power. Now, with the whole COVID agendas, when did you first start to realize that this was just another bullshit part of another oncoming agenda?
Oh, right away. Yeah. First day. Immediately. I mean, I have I got a song that I put out in April of 2020. So It didn't even take me a full month to put a fucking song out. Crown Virus. You could go check it out right now. Yeah. Immediately. I mean, there was no question. Like, sure, I questioned, you know, I wasn't sure of what it was exactly. Is it real? Is it made up? Is it a total false flag op? You know, or is it a false, because that's the thing people don't understand about false flags, is false flag can often be kind of a ride the coattail of a real thing, but still create, use it to push your agenda. And I think that's what this is in part, but it really doesn't even matter. You know, like, that's why when everything first went down, I think now I don't see it as much, but when everything kind of first happened and people were so stuck on, is it real or not? You know, is it a real thing affecting people or is it just all made up? And who cares? Why does that even matter? Yeah. You know, like again, we got to stick to the root cause of things. And to me right away, it was like, I knew, I mean, in the song I put out in April, I knew they were going to come with, you know, authoritarian measures. I talk about passports, you know, mandatory jab, all of these things. So, and that's, I mean, bro, I have songs, literally, I just put out a song, Illuminati Part 2, where I reference one of my songs that I put out in 2012, but I made the lyrics like 2010. And in that song, I literally say, their agenda is not hidden. It's called eugenics. They create the threat and then they spread the epidemic. Next, here come the medics and their so-called leaders claiming that they got a cure and that they know how they should treat us.
Oh, man.
So I have numerous songs where I talk about, you know, the possibility of this exact scenario, not in detail. Sure, I'm not a psychic and I'm not the only one. The reason I was able to, I guess, predict, if you want to say, but it's not an exact prediction, but it's just because stuff like this has happened in history. This is not a, these are not new tactics. This is not anything out of any realm of possibility for anyone who has any understanding of oppression, of history, of politics, of authoritarianism, of societies, any of that, right? So, yeah, I mean, I knew from Jump Street. I didn't know everything and how it was going to play out, but I most certainly knew, like, nah, this is not good. This is going to lead to something much more sinister.
There are tons of agendas within agendas. It's like a fucking onion peel right now with everything going on. But one of the huge ones is division of people based on everything, based on race, based on culture, based on ideology, based on politics, based on your fucking sports team. I mean, they just want to divide the country right now on anything, because again, they don't want us to see who the real enemy is. Now, I want to get your thoughts on some of the tactics that the media has been using to divide people. I mean, there's a ton of them. You got, like you said, false flag operations, these shootings, these things that really strike an emotional chord with people to divide them right now. And I'm sure the division is not only to get us ignoring who the real enemy is, but to have us fighting ourselves. And I think they want to see an eventual civil war amongst the people. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, divide and conquer has always been, always will be the primary tool used of those in power and those who seek to oppress and have total power. So there's no question. I mean, on all fronts, you know, it's race, it's nationality, it's gender, it's, and the wild thing is, it's so funny. It's not funny, but it's such an interesting psychological thing. Like, the dynamic of how the mind works, where there's real issues, right? Like race and racism. It's a real issue in America. It exists, of course. We'd be anybody to just totally nullify any aftermath and any impact that slavery and segregation and all these issues could even have in today's America is being disingenuous. Now, the issue arises when there's something real like racism, but then as a counter to it, it gets taken so far to the left, you know, it gets taken to such an extreme to where now you've created a bigger issue than the issue itself, if that makes sense. Like, you know, you see this with gender, for example. I mean, it was like, I was talking out 8, 9, 10 years ago about like gender equality, feminism, women's rights. Like, yeah, there are certainly issues, but then it gets taken to such an extreme that now it's like everything is about your pronouns just shit that, like, I get it. I don't have a problem per se with it, but why are we focusing on that kind of stuff? It's like, I think we've kind of gone so far off of the path of like the real actual issues that exist. And then ultimately those kind of extreme takes on real issues become more divisive than the actual real issue itself, if that makes sense.
It does.
So I think it's not easy to divide. It's not difficult to divide people because people have egos and have this, I don't know if it's inherent or what it is, but they just have this desire to compete, you know, compete with each other, to one up each other. And often this could be, you know, can manifest in many different ways that can be divisive. So yeah, it's certainly, you know, it's a big problem. I mean, unity is key. We can't be, and America is definitely more, I believe, more divided than I've ever seen it. Yeah. I can't recall a time America's ever more divided. Luckily, fortunately, I don't know if it will come to a civil war, just because I don't think that the left would want that smoke.
Yeah, right.
You're like,
right.
I just don't think the left would want it to get to that type of vibe. Because I mean, yeah. The right are pretty much the ones with all the guns, and it wouldn't go too good for the left if it really went that direction. Mm. But I can definitely see secession. And I at this point, I don't know if that's a bad thing necessarily. You know, I see a lot of counter arguments to it, like, no, that's, you know, we have to unite it. But like, unity is like, yeah, you unite, you put aside petty differences and small differences, but I'm not going to unite with somebody who has values that I feel are totally immoral and deplorable. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry, there is a line that one must draw in the sand and say, well, hey, you crossed that line and I'm not trying to unite with you. I'm not trying to fight you either. We don't have to beef. So, you know what? Maybe you just go that way and I'll go this way and we could just live our own ways in peace and nobody, you know? So maybe that is the solution, man. Maybe, yeah. And honestly, it's kind of just happening that way naturally anyway, from what I see in the States.
Yeah.
You know, based on politics, based on a lot of the mandates and things that are happening now with COVID. So you could very well see it just naturally happen to where more, you know, Republicans start moving to places like Texas and Florida, and they just kind of naturally secede and separate. So, and maybe it is. Maybe that is the right thing to do at this point. You know, sometimes, like, it's all relationships, right? Mm. Relationship with each other as a collective, relationship with the government. And just as when we have relationships on an individual level, they can become too dysfunctional and too broken and irreparable. And when they do, our best bet is to step away, to walk away and leave each other. You can't fix everything. Yeah. Not everything can be repaired. And it could very well be at that point. I ain't the one to make the call and say it is. Yeah. I don't know for sure.
No, but I think you're right, man, because, you know, as time passes, I'm less of the hopes that, you know, we could all come together, everybody's going to wake up and it'll all be kumbaya. And it's more like we're on two different timelines. There's the timeline of those people waking up right now. There's a timeline that those people are on their right and true spiritual path. And then there's the timeline of people who are still sleeping and believe that we're in a crazy oogada boogada pandemic where they got to get an experimental gene therapy. So I think you're absolutely right. There's a big split there, but there is an awakening happening. I've had people that were asleep flip the script and come along to this side and start to realize some of the things going on. Now, I'm wondering if we could maybe see more of this, people flipping and coming around to the awakened side, or are we just going to continue to see this split in timelines? Because it's hard to tell the populace and the overall consensus of how people feel, because the mainstream media is sure fucking not going to tell you. Yeah. And you only have to go off of your immediate friends and family and your surroundings and people online that you interact with. So it is kind of hard to tell, even, you know, especially because you don't even know if the people you're interacting with online are fucking real. So do you think that there could be maybe a shift in people coming to this, an awakening point, and we may see more of that and less of a split? Or you think this split is just inevitable?
I think I'm pretty much in the same boat as you, where it's just too hard to tell. Like, I can't really tell. I think, if anything, I'd probably say that there's a lot more people in America who aren't online, who would probably lean more towards the right and probably, you know, not really want to abide by all these new weird social norms and, you know, all this politically correct, you know, that's all I can really say as far as, like, and that is part of the divide, I suppose, you know, it's a lot of it is more
in the social justice realm, I guess. You know what I mean? It's not even, it's almost not even so much political, although everything is political.
Yeah, that's why I hate to use like left and right, because it goes beyond that. Like the left and right has been manufactured and put into people's psyches that they need to be separated into these two camps. And I think they're both controlled anyway. You know, I think it both goes to the top of the pyramid myself. And I think that politics is bullshit to begin with. It's just another division tool, but that's just my thoughts on it. You know,
100%.
Yeah.
100%, man. And right now, like that is probably the biggest divisive thing in America is left and right, you know. And then there's people like myself who are neither and who are like, okay, there's some good things over here on the left, there's some bad, there's some good on the right, there's some bad, you know. We don't need all the labels and all the divisiveness. And you know, it's, I really don't know, man. To be honest, it's one of those things that I can just honestly say I have no clue.
I think that as long as we stay on our positive timeline and keep doing our thing and, you know, spread our message and our positivity, I think that, you know, we're going to be okay and everybody on this timeline is going to be just fine. And, you know, that's all we have to worry about. That's just my personal thoughts on it. Now, when it comes to those that are not only on the other timeline, but in control of it, they're at the top of the pyramid. I look at these individuals and I don't see how they can be humans. I mean, what kind of a human do you know that could want to depopulate almost an entire planet, you know, 90% of a population, wants to poison people, wants to imprison people, wants to control people? I mean, not many people I know are quite that sadistic or psychotic. And I don't know if it's just the power that corrupts these people, or are they not fucking human? I don't know. What are your thoughts on these elite scumbags that control the system, you know?
Yeah, I feel you, man. It's sometimes it is hard to believe, like, and who knows? I certainly, you know, my mind is open to the fullest extent that it could be, which means like anything to me is a possibility, because I just don't, if I don't know something for 100% sure in my own experiential, even with my own experiential evidence, then even that I'd be suspect of. But certainly things that I don't know, I don't know. So who knows? Maybe they are reptilians or demons.
Man,
or,
at the minimum, they probably got something whispering in their ear, you know.
Yeah, I mean, who knows, right? It could all be fucking mind control, beamed through the moon, like what David Icke talks about with reptilians, or I don't know.
Yeah.
But what I do know for sure is, like, I've been around some really fucked up people, and I know that humans can be horrible, and oftentimes, in fact, I think that we even model and create our notion of monsters and demons and devils based on what actual humans have done and do. And because I have witnessed firsthand and seen and experienced, and I know what, you know, even just in prison, what cats could be like, and on the streets, and I mean, yo, people will kidnap kids and kill your kids, torture your kids for money, for little amounts of money. Like, that's real shit that happens every day.
Yeah.
You know, there are people who torment and torture children, not even for money, for their own sick, twisted enjoyment. So, you know, when you kind of really know the extent of how horrible humans can be. Now, if we want to question that, why are those humans horrible? Are they possessed? Is it, you know, if we're going to start to go down that slippery slope, then who knows? Again, going back to, I don't know anything for sure. Yeah. But if we're just taking it at face value, what humans right now, this very moment in the world, humans are committing the worst possible imaginable atrocities to each other and to animals and to other living, feeling, sentient beings. So I don't put it past humans, especially who are born into, because most of them now are just born inherited into this power and this wealth, and taught nothing but narcissistic, sociopathic, psychopathic behavior from the time they were born.
Yeah.
So I certainly don't put it past it just being humans, man, to be honest.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Now, do you think that there is a solution to what we're seeing now other than people uprising, taking to the streets with guns and showing up on the Capitol? Do you think there's any kind of peaceful, silent solutions that we can maybe start implementing? Because, you know, talking is great. Getting together online is a wonderful thing and spreading ideas. But there comes a point where, you know, is there a next step? Should there be a next step? I think so. And I don't know, you know, a lot of people don't know where to go from here. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't have all the answers, for sure, for sure. I don't have any answers, like,
right,
in terms of, like, this is the answer or one of, for sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do, I'm an advocate of, I just know that my solution, personally, I want to be free. I want to be free in every way, starting internally free from the judgments of others, you know, free, meaning not that people won't judge me, they always will, but free from it impacting me, affecting me, from other people's emotions and projections and all these things from impacting my decisions and the way I behave, right? Because to me, that's the number one freedom that people take for granted and don't even think about when they talk about freedom. As long as we are a slave to other people's thoughts, opinions, actions, behaviors towards us, anything short of them physically doing something to us, we are slaves, right? To that person's thoughts. And I want to be free in every way. So starting with that, then I don't want to be dependent on anyone or anything, yeah. You know, and every day I wake up, you know, there's a ton of reminders that I am trapped in this system where I'm just entirely dependent on others. And those others just so happen to be people who not only do they not give a fuck about me, if they could, they would fucking steal my soul and sell it to the devil. You know what I'm saying? Like, so to me, the solution for me is to get the fuck, to get free, to get 100% free. And unfortunately, while we're in this system, as we all are, we need money to live in this system, and we need money to actually get out of this system, which makes it even more fucked up. Like, you can't even, you have to essentially buy your freedom to an extent, you know what I mean? If you want to actually get off the grid and get out of the system.
Yeah.
And that to me is my long-term goal. I hope sooner than later. But, you know, I need to make money. I need to earn money to be able to build off grid, to have solar power, to have all the things I need to be off the grid. And more so, I would like to create a community, not just for myself. Sure, take care of self first. But if I'm able to and I have the money, the resources, it's not money, it's resources. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that I can't go to you know, somebody. You know, I need the foundation to be built for my home and say, hey, you know what? I could rap for you in exchange for it. They're going to be like, rap for me? Get the fuck out of here, weirdo. Like, give me some money. You got money, yeah. You got credit, maybe Bitcoin now. Great. Yeah. But nonetheless, it's just an exchange. It's a barter. So, but ultimately, I just want to be 100% free. I don't want to be dependent. Bro, like the other day, I couldn't get into my It's called Payoneer. It's where I collect my money from TuneCore, my music royalties. And for like a week, they were having technical difficulties and I couldn't sign in to get my fucking money, right? My yeah. hard-earned money.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those little things that just reminds you, everything could go down. All my bank accounts, everything could go down. And then what? They could freeze it. I read all the time about people having their accounts frozen because they're political activists, so on and so forth, whatever it may be. So to me, I just want to be free. And I think if more people got off the grid and we started creating communities off the grid, smaller self-sustainable communities where basically voluntary communities where people contribute, we have the resources we need, and more of those start sprouting up around the world. Because I don't think big cities are solutions for us. I really don't think we're made. the way I view big cities at this point, as much as I like them sometimes, like the big city vibe is cool, all of that, right? But really, they're just fucking factory farms for humans. Like, it's just really on some Matrix shit, right? So, you know, I actually think that I don't even think storming the politicians and with guns, I don't think that's the solution at all, actually, because then what? You know, if I tell people all the time, if the system crashed right now, then what? It would be fucking chaos. Nobody's prepared for that. You think these fucks are going to go down without a fight? They're going to make it horrible. They're going to make it so the resources will be so limited. People will be killing, raping, stealing. It'll be chaos, or as what the MSM refers to as anarchy. It'll be anarchy, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, which just to them means all out fucking chaos. And it would be. So to me, the actual real solution moving forward would be that actually is people creating their own self-sustainable communities, getting off the grid, helping others do the same, and more of these popping up. And we need some type of tech developers. Like, we have all these anonymous hackers, and yo, we need our own. Maybe it already exists and I'm just not in on it, but all these communities, and have our own infrastructure of communication as well, to where all these self-sustaining communities around the world could still be interconnected and we could all support each other and back each other, lest there be, you know, you never know if shit pops off and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there's some type of war breaks out or whatever it may be, right? To still have some type of communication and have some be on some type of unified front. But nonetheless, because we are not ready. We are so not ready. We are so unorganized. We are so unprepared for a real collapse if that were to ever happen. So to me, the only way to really be prepared for that is to get off the grid.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And with everything that is changing so much, you know, we, like you said, we may see an eventual future collapse, but all industries are changing as well. I mean, the movie industry, I mean, Hollywood, it seems like it's dead now. You know, we don't have your traditional movie industry anymore. People aren't going to the theaters. Even the music industry's changed forever. People aren't going to concerts. Everything seems to be, you know, going to, like you're doing, like YouTube artists. Where do you think the future of the music industry is going, and do you like the way it's become post like 2020?
Oh man, that's a good question. It's a mixed bag. Like,
so yeah, so is podcasting, my friend.
Like that, you know, I certainly like the independence of it, you know, that artists like me can even be can be out there and do it independently and not need a record label or all of that is great. But then, of course, it's still the music industry where basically art is undervalued, underappreciated, and artists are paid like, you know, just ridiculously small amounts. And when it comes to streaming now, which is the most popular, most popular method of music consumption. So one thing that I actually am hopeful for, though, that some artists are starting to do, I actually first saw it with a dude. He's a mainstream guy, Tory Lanez. I don't know if you're familiar with him. But regardless, he's a bigger, you know, he's a bigger mainstream guy from Canada. What he did was he released music as an NFT. So this model is actually what I think the future of the music industry is going to be, because NFT, you know what the NFT is, I'm sure. Okay, so then, and if, for anybody listening who doesn't know, non-fungible token, basically it's, you know, blockchain. It's like a one-of-a-kind limited edition of whatever you want it to be. It could be like a meme, it could be songs, right?
Yeah.
So what this does is it essentially, for the first time ever, really, since, you know, since back in the days when you had to record your music on big ass fucking, you know, reel to reel recording and they pressed it up on vinyl records, for the first time with NFTs, music will be strictly limited to that NFT. with no replication possible. Yeah. Because really what fucked the whole music industry up in a big way was the replication, right? Being able to just download shit for free. Even now, it's like, whatever, you know? So now with the NFT, it gives the artist the opportunity to say, hey, I have a new song. I'm only going to make 1,000 copies of it, of this NFT for this song. And I'm going to charge $50 for it. And off that one song, that artist is going to make $50,000, and the people can also resell the NFT. So it's also like an investment for the people, like along the lines of some crypto type shit, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's an amazing thing because it really gives the artist the opportunity to, it gives them at least the option to have totally exclusive limited edition music release, which just was never possible because of, you know, the digital replication and downloading. So I think that's the future. I think that's the future of the music industry, to be honest.
Has the YouTube censorship been a problem or affected you any?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I had a video. It wasn't even a song, actually. I made a beat. I found like this sample, this snippet of this Netflix series with John Cusack. I forgot the name of it, but he's basically talking about a jab and all this fucking conspiracy shit, right? Like all about sterilization and depopulation. And so I made this basically kind of like this presentation, right? And it was called Jabination, Sterilization, Depopulation, right?
Yeah.
And YouTube took it down. They fucking straight up took the shit down. They said, you know, whatever misinformation. They gave me a strike against my channel. First time ever, bro, for a decade, I've been putting out nothing but controversial music, bro. Nothing but, like, everything I put out has some kind of potential misinformation, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. But no, this is, and just the other day, Instagram too, bro, I put up a meme of Ron Paul, a quote from Ron Paul about masks. Literally 40 seconds is all it took for Instagram to remove my shit, citing harmful or, and misguiding information based on fact checkers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's beyond absurd. It's beyond absurd. It's for how anybody cannot see at this point that we are just under blatant attack, blatant censorship, blatant everything. Like how of for someone like me who on Instagram is, I mean, YouTube, I put out music, but not nearly as much as I've posted on Instagram. You could imagine. I mean, I can't put out 3 to 5 songs every day, but I make 3 to 5 posts every, you know, I've been going hard on Instagram for shit, 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Never once of all the controversy or all the shit that I've done said and posted about, never once did I have a post removed like this and cited harmful, misguiding information. So now, out of all the goddamn issues, this is the one. This is the one. It's just, it's
crazy.
I don't know. I don't even know how to describe what is happening anymore.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Just beyond.
We live in idiocracy, my friend. We sure do.
Bro.
Now, to close out on, I want to get your thoughts on this. Whenever I'm playing music or I'm even doing this show and I'm in like the groove of a conversation, I feel like I can be channeling something at times. I feel like I don't even have to think about what's coming out of my mouth or what I'm playing on my guitar. Yeah. It just kind of flows through me and it's just like I go into a trance and it's coming out. Now, is this the same? Does this ever occur for you whenever you're creating your music or you're rapping that it's just, you know, just unconscious and it's flowing through you? You don't even know where it's coming from. And sometimes you don't even remember like what you said after.
Definitely, bro. That's
now, do you think this is a form of like channeling?
Yeah, like channeling, yeah, like divine creation channeling, yep. For sure, man. That's anytime when I'm actually creating, coming up with rhymes or making beats, that's when I get in that zone, bro. And sometimes, man, I get so deep into that. To me, it's like it's meditative as well. Like it's a form of meditation, because really it's just being completely in the present moment, completely in the here and now. My mind is free of the past and the future. I'm not thinking about what am I gonna do later, what's the world coming to. I'm not thinking about, damn, why didn't I do this differently in the past, maybe nothing. I'm just there, centered, focused in the moment, and letting the creation flow. And bro, sometimes I go so deep into that when I'm done, I come out of it, and it really does. It feels like I just came back to reality. Like, yeah. I feel weird. I feel out of it. I feel like a bit detached from my surroundings and everything. Like, it's a trip.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. Well, Deez, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. You're doing fantastic work. Your song, I'm going to leave to it in the description, along with a link to your channel. Society is Insanity is a song. Everybody go check that out. Now, do you have anything interesting upcoming that you'd like to tell the audience about before you head out?
Yeah. I got a bunch. I'm always putting out new music. It's just what I do. But now I really... You know, I've been going hard, but I feel even more obligated now to go hard and talk about the current situation, especially because I don't really see many other rappers doing it, man. And I've even had fans comment to me and thank me and say, you know, all these conscious rappers that like we looked up to and listened and it came up with you and a lot of the bigger ones who warned us about this stuff, they're all silent now. None of them are really saying anything about what's going on or making songs. I've noticed it too, and it's not my place to judge anybody, but I have noticed it, and I take it upon myself to, you know, if other cats ain't gonna do it, I certainly am, because it is, like I said, I wish people would have listened to me when I was talking about and rapping about the drug war, but you know, it is what it is at this point. Like, you know, I'm not going to be one of those, well, you didn't listen to me before, so I'm not going to, you know, it's too late now. I still have to take a stand and fight for what's happening now as well, because as much as the drug war is so deep and has impacted all of us so much and we should have learned from it, this now is still in our face, blatant at the moment, and needs to be addressed and needs to be nipped in the butt and needs to be stopped, this mandatory bullshit. Everything else, whatever people want to do, do what the fuck you want to do. But all this mandatory, you know, experimental gene therapy shit, it's got to stop. So point is, I got some big new songs in the pipeline coming out before the end of the year and well into next year. I got a new EP coming out with one of my brothers that I work with closely, and just going to be coming with all the fucking, the realest rap out right now. I promise that. Like, a lot of cats are doing it, a lot of cats are touching on issues here and there, but trust me, fam, like, these tracks I got coming out, it's not just touching on them, it's hitting them upside the fucking head and getting to the real root of these issues that we're facing. And I hope that people check it all out and listen and are impacted by it, and maybe, you know, we could really stop this shit before it gets way, way too far, because that's the path that it's headed on right now. So,
hell yeah, man. You're doing great work. Thank you so much. And thank you for coming on today. Like I said, I'm going to have links to all your stuff in the description. And I'd love to talk to you again sometime in the future. Maybe when you drop some more stuff, we'll have you back on soon.
Definitely. I'd love to be back on, man. It was a great time and an honor and a pleasure. Thanks, man.
All right, Diesel, have a good day. Until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We'll talk again tomorrow.